Hello, welcome to Diva of Days of Our Lives and our weekly podcast. This is Anna, and we've got Carrie.
Hi, everybody.
Hey there. And we've got Marianne.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. We've got a bunch of people in the chat room. Woohoo, it's a party. All right, so the big elephant in the room is, who would like to start?
The big elephant in the room is Lisa Rinna's lips. That's the big elephant in the room.
Oh, yeah. You mean like as in what came out of them or what size they are? You mean?
Yeah, both.
And both, or both.
Yeah, I told you guys last week I participated in a conference call with her, and I liked Lisa. I thought she was very open, and she's a blunt person, and I'm a blunt person. And the problem with blunt people is we tend to stick our foot in our mouth.
Really? Really?
I mean, that's never happened to me.
I never noticed that before, Carrie.
Yeah, but sometimes you can be too honest and, you know, you don't have a filter and stuff you should hold back, doesn't. So, and anyway, during this conference call, I asked Lisa about her appearance, forthcoming appearance on Bravo's Watch What Happens Live, which mostly is the show to promote the Housewives series on Bravo. And Andy Cohen hosts it, and he always asks questions that you should never answer. The game is called Plead the Fifth. He asks three provoking questions, and you can plead the fifth on only one of them. And Lisa's watched the show before. She knows how it goes. And I wonder, like, you know, are you apprehensive about his questions? And she's like, yes, and the music's on again.
I know. Sorry. It just goes on randomly.
Funny.
I didn't touch a thing. I think it's under control now. It has a mind of its own.
Uh-oh. It's Joe.
Yeah, so,
no.
Yeah, Joe's coming.
Watch your back.
Yeah, he's haunting the show. Yeah, so I warned her. She's seen the show before. And she's like, well, I'm pretty open. And, you know, everything's out there anyway. It's like, all right, okay. So my friend tweets me about it. I'm like, well, what happened? But I'm a geek, and I'm sure Anna was too. I was watching election coverage at 11 o'clock on Tuesday. I totally forgot about watching her.
Yeah, I missed it. I flipped it over after I heard that was going on because I wasn't watching it either.
I just saw it online, you know, when I got, you know, the next day.
Yeah. So he asked you one question about who should something about their lips or who should get their lip implants removed next. Because Lisa had hers removed, even though they do look bigger to me for some reason. I don't know. And she said Taylor Armstrong, who she's in the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and she has humongous lip implants. I mean, she's honest about it. And she's the one who had her husband, Russell, killed himself in July.
Mm-hmm.
After she filed for divorce because he was physically abusive to her. And there's a history. He's abused his other exes, too. So she mentioned Taylor, and then Andy asked her, what actor in Days of Our Lives history is the worst actor? And
In all of history,
48 years of the show, who's the worst?
He said actor, yeah.
He's an actor.
She couldn't have picked the chick that played the second Belle. I mean, come on.
Yeah, Charity Rayle would have been number
there
one
you go.
On anybody's list. Mm-hmm. She was the worst. But, or someone, yeah, who's no longer on the show. And did they happen to post the clip I posted on the blog, from the Huffington Post? That was edited from what everybody says. I'm not sure if the entire clip's on YouTube or not. But she had a hawed and couldn't really come up with a name. And he said Stefano DiMera. And a lot of people were saying that actually Andy Cohen said, my children fans, that he might not know anything about Stefano or Days anyway. But, I mean, there are a lot of people, though. If you
he said actor
episode,
and then said the character's name, which is kind of stupid. Didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and I guess the game is timed. And so she's like, Stefano DiMera. But then she did say, yeah, I went there when she said it. So she, to me, sounded like she meant it. Why would you say, yeah, I went there, unless you meant
I went there. Maybe she was agreeing.
Yeah, I'm going to go there.
Yeah,
I'm going to go there.
Yeah. So that was out, and then she even tweeted about it later that Stephanie was going to get her. And you open the blog, and I'm watching her on Twitter, and she's not really talking about it. Then when the news really started spreading everywhere, people were, they weren't mean tweeting her, but they were saying, you owe Joe Mascolo an apology. A lot of people were doing, they were, you know, they were really upset that she didn't apologize yet, and she did apologize about 5 p.m. Eastern time, and saying that what she said was stupid, and Joe's a great actor. And then just this Friday, Sobriety Digest got a quote from Joe who said,
and they contacted him. He didn't contact them. They went after him.
Yeah. They went after him.
They reached out. They quote reached out to him.
And he basically made a comment about, as far as lip implants and bad acting concerned, that that's Lisa Renee, it's a pot calling the kettles black, basically saying, you know, she needs the lip reduction surgery and she's a bad actor. So, you know, you can twist it around that way. So that was the big news of the week. And, I mean, she never should have said anybody currently on the show, to tell you the truth. She shouldn't have said anybody.
She shouldn't have said anybody.
This is her first week back. She wasn't even on the show yet.
She hadn't even aired yet.
The fifth. I mean, how hard would that
have
been?
Yeah, you should never audition an actor that you're going to be working with.
She would have gotten a lot less attention, but she would have scored a lot more points with the fans, if she had just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I wasn't that excited about her return to begin with, but whatever. I was, you know, I don't know. I don't know how other people, how you guys think about her, but I was never a Billy fan, so.
I liked Billy.
Or Lisa Rinna.
Yeah, I liked her in the beginning. Yeah.
I love Julie Pinson as well. You know, I didn't watch during the Lisa Rinna era. During that period, I had stopped watching Days for a while. Not because of her, but just because I wasn't watching Days at all. But, I always liked her on Soap Talk, and I've liked her in other, like, I really was rooting for her on The Apprentice because I thought they were mean girls on that show, and she was really kind of beat up unnecessarily. So I felt kind of bad for her, actually, you know, on there. I just, you know, I think Lisa's one of these people, like you said, kind of shoots from the hip, says what comes to her mind, doesn't really think about it till later. And, you know, in a way, though, she kind of knew what she was doing because she says, yeah, okay, I'll go there. So she knew she was going there, you know. It wasn't just like the first person that came off the top of her head and then she thought later,
I think she knew what she was doing.
She knew what she was doing.
Trouble.
And you know
she
what?
She knew there was going to be,
amount, you know, we consider she's trying to sell a book, you know, she's a reality star type, you know, she does a lot of these reality shows, and there's a reason why they have certain people on reality shows, because they'll say what comes to the top of their mind, you know.
They're not afraid to say it,
to their mind, and this, you know, says it, and, you know, I'll let the chips fall where they may. But I feel bad for Joe, though, because, I mean, I'm not saying she's a horrible person. I mean, from my perspective, she's not a horrible person or anything like that, but it was a really insensitive thing, and it's the kind of thing where you would have thought common sense. She could have scored a lot more points by, okay, she got the publicity the night before, and then the next morning, first thing, she apologized, and then we're done, you know? But because she didn't, it stirred up controversy all day long. And, you know, and again, I mean, controversy is good for ratings and good for people watching, but on the other hand, it's like, you know, this is somebody's feelings and this is somebody's career. I mean, he's had a steady job for a lot longer than I hate to say it, than she has.
But, you know, I think most fans realize, no, he's not. You know what I mean? I don't really think he could. I don't
really
think it would hurt him.
If he really were a bad actor, I mean, we'd all be like, yeah, she's right. He's not. Obviously, he's not. He's well-respected with his fellow actors and with the fans. I think it was just kind of a below-the-belt. I mean, I'm not going to, like, crucify her or anything, but I felt like it was really...
And she shouldn't even have named the bad actor either, you know.
And honestly, it's kind of like, you're really going to come back on this show and you've been, you know, acting like you're so excited to come back and everything, and everybody's supposedly excited to have you back, and then you're going to start out before you even, you know, your first air date, you're going to go ahead and start stirring the crap, you know? I mean, it's just, I guess I just felt bad for Joe, too, because, I mean, he's had a long career, And, you know, I mean, I guess it's stirred up controversy. Maybe more people will watch, but at what expense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, she did apologize. So, you know, and it's up to Joe to accept that apology, not us. But
mm-hmm.
you're right, Carrie, though. She had the entire day before she finally said something. And I don't know. I just don't think that was very wise, but oh well.
And don't forget, too, with the day before it was announced that she was coming back, she was bashing Allison Sweeney on Twitter because Allison has the
yeah.
Hollywood Wives dinner cover where it's called on the TV Guide channel. And I guess Lisa was supposed to be a part of that. And from her tweets were, and I have them on the blog, basically I think that Lisa thought that Allison cut her out on purpose. And
That
Allison cut Lisa out of the Hollywood
oh.
Wives dinner
yeah,
party
yeah,
or Hollywood
that.
Mom's party. Yeah. And she was bashing Allison
there.
On it. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It looks like it might have been all those girls getting together, that the only ones who but Allison and I think Alexandria were only the main two people of the show. And Lisa was a part of the original group, and she felt like she got cut out. Just, you know, I mean, I don't know how they had it all worked out, but it looks like Allison maybe sold the idea and didn't include Lisa, which, of course, wouldn't have meant Lisa lost money. But, yeah, I don't know what happened. But after going back and forth, and Allison tweeted to her very nicely mm-hmm. and about the whole thing, then she buried the hatchet with her.
Yeah, yeah.
So... So that was good, but yeah, basically, yeah. Lisa is kind of like another Crystal Chappelle when it comes to Twitter.
Loose cannon.
She's a veritable
yes.
loose cannon.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so yeah. So she's a bit of a shitster. So anyway, so if you're not following Lisa on Twitter,
okay.
you probably should.
Let's go ahead and reward her and follow it at @LISARINNA.
Now everybody's following her, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, we might
follow
as well, another shitster. We might as well pimp our other favorite shitster, Bob Hapka, @BobHapka, if you want
mm-hmm.
to be offended and entertained.
Yeah, so he
would
have come
him.
Right out and said who the worst, at, whatever. He wouldn't,
oh,
you know, I'm
true.
Sure he would have.
That's
would've,
true.
Yeah.
He probably would have said
see
it
him
was
doing
James
that.
Scott.
James Scott, yeah,
you know.
I'm sure.
But, you know, we all have our favorites, but, you
that's
know.
Right.
Oh, and a belated happy birthday to Lauren Coslow, a.k.a. Kate DeMira. Her birthday was March 9th yesterday, so we love her, and happy mm-hmm. birthday to her. So thought I'd get that out. And, of course, we at Amy Hapka as well.
Mm-hmm.
I told him it was
see.
Showtime, so I don't know. I see Bob was on.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, he's tweeting. He's just ignoring us. That's okay.
Uh-huh.
He just uses
I
us for
him.
The pimp. And
yeah.
then goes back home. No. His birthday, well, I guess another birthday shout out. Bob's birthday was, well,
mm-hmm.
we actually sang to him last week. We actually wished him a happy birthday
yeah.
last Saturday night. His birthday was Black March
week.
5th. Actually, he was at partying on the 3rd, but his birthday was on the 5th. So, anyway, happy birthday to Bob. And I'm trying to think, any other pimping we need to do? Could pimp...
Don't tweet to Patrick Muldoon at Muldoon Patrick, because he's trying to write songs, but he keeps tweeting me. He keeps saying, seriously, I have to start writing songs. Then he keeps tweeting to me.
Oh, so don't yeah, we
yeah.
don't want to distract him, basically, so
yeah.
don't tweet to at Muldoon Patrick.
I don't know. He
that's
was
right?
distracting us the other day.
He's very easily distracted. Very, just
yes,
mention
yes.
Cadbury eggs, and he's there.
I gotcha. So he can easily be distracted by chocolate? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
I know. I know. I was slightly distracted by his shirtless scenes on Friday, but that's, you know. But I digress.
Distracting all of us on Friday. You know, with no clothes, practically no clothes on.
Carrie, who? Just kidding.
Carrie, yeah.
Yeah. No, the other Carrie, not you.
Yeah.
He's got two Carries in his life. But he's got two Carries.
Uh-huh.
He's got his TV wife and his Twitter. He's got his TV wife Carrie and his Twitter wife Carrie.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, Are you? Is it like kind of like, you know? Has he figured out that Abby's after him yet?
I think Austin
finally
got
it. Last time we talked to Patrick, he had absolutely no idea what we were talking about. It was amazing.
Patrick was on Showbiz Tonight on Headline News this week too, and I have the clip up on the blog, which I'm surprised nobody else has that up. Yeah, so
I have to watch that. I'll actually have to go to the blog and watch that because I hadn't seen it before. I didn't realize it wasn't that it was up on there. Okay, cool.
Yeah, he was on there. They were asking him about the Nicolette Sheridan trial. It came out that day that I guess there was a feud between Nicolette Sheridan and Terry Hatcher, and the show's saying that one of the reasons why she got fired was that she was difficult to work with, she showed up late, and basically Patrick is saying that shows don't mind that those type of rivalries, but if you're not showing up to work on time and you're not prepared, then it's a problem.
Right.
That, you know, they just had a rivalry but were professional and just doing their scenes. He said they wouldn't have a problem with it. But he said time is money several times.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, he didn't talk about days, but it was all about Nicolette Sheridan.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's a cute little interview. I mean, let's see it. Oh, he just tweeted today that TMZ interviewed him outside of a restaurant because they thought he was Rob Lowe.
They thought he was who?
Rob Lowe.
They thought he was Rob Lowe. Yes.
Boy.
That's funny. Oh, my God.
He doesn't know if it's going to air or not, but he, after a while, he figured out they thought he was Rob and corrected them. So.
That's funny. Oh, my gosh. That would be a clip someone should put on YouTube. That would be funny.
Yeah.
You know, TMZ's always catching other people in the act. We need to catch them, like, being, you know, in the act.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. So Carrie, do you want to talk about the Abby or, you know, the Looney Abby story? You want to
He wasn't wearing any clothes. That's all you need to know, really.
Really?
Just,
yeah, that was the best part of the whole. Other than that, download
Friday's episode, Friday's U.S. airing episode, and you will be good. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, basically what happened was, I thought Molly Burnett was hilarious this week.
She was so cute.
Yes, she was. Yes. With
her
expression and stuff.
She finally figured out Abby's cuckoo and is obsessed with Austin. And the look on Molly's face when they all run at each other in the lobby was just priceless. She was like, oh, no.
Set it up first, but why they all ended up there at the same time, just in case someone didn't see last week.
I forgot what happened. Abby broke into Austin's computer, figured out they went to the Green Mountain Lodge. So Abby manipulates Melanie into going with her, saying they'll just take a little ski vacation. And then they all sort of are running to each other in the lobby, and Melanie is just mortified, basically. And then she tries to talk Abby out of it for quite a bit this week, and then Austin tries to talk Abby out of it, and she doesn't want to hear anything about it, and she just thinks she's there for Austin. So she manipulates Carrie by giving her a card saying that she won a free massage, and hold on, I'm having chat room problems again, and so she Carrie leaves Austin alone to go to the locker room to get changed and to get the massage, and then Abby sneaks into Austin's room, and Austin's about ready
half
to take
naked
a shower.
Austin.
Yes.
Yeah. Not Austin's only half clothed as well.
Yes.
Out.
And then Abby keeps declaring her love for him, blah, 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 and this finally Austin's losing his temper with her and saying, oh, I love my wife, I'm staying with my wife, blah, 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 we were a mistake, we have no future, and she just went here. She's still in cuckoo land the entire time. And then he's comforting her on the bed, and Carrie walks in.
What's going on here?
And he's trying.
Yeah.
And he's playing it.
Typical lie.
He's playing it completely straight. I mean, he's like,
yes.
Seriously, I don't have feelings for you. I love my wife. You know, mm-hmm. what we did was a mistake, even though they didn't do anything. She's talked him into believing that he did something with her.
Yeah,
right.
And so he is playing it completely. He's playing it basically like Patrick Muldoon played it that week when he was like, "What are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about." Mm-hmm. He really did not realize that Abby was head over heels, and he really does not appear to have any feelings for her, nor does he want anything to do with her, which makes the stalking part all the more fun.
Yes.
So then what, Carrie, I think I missed that part. So Carrie walks in on him. I mean, I know Melanie was trying to keep her out of there. She was mm-hmm. she was like, "Here, you can have my massage spot," since her massage got canceled
yes.
or whatever. She's like, "Here, you can have my massage." Yeah. And then she's like, "Oh, that's okay. I'd rather go in and see my husband." Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I had a look on Melanie's face.
And she hit her head against the wall. Did you see her? Like, she
was
so
funny.
No.
And her, like, thinking
yeah.
she's biting her nails. Like, oh,
hanging her head, yeah.
Oh, that was funny.
But someone needs to call Jennifer or Jack. That's what I said. Come on, Melanie.
Yeah.
You know, somebody needs to clue these parents in on what's going on with Abby.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
And it continues on Monday because I read the Monday spoilers, too. So, Monday is when Carrie finds out about Austin and Abby. So, that's
oh,
a good
boy.
One. Oh, and I think I read on Twitter, too. I think Kate Mancy slapped Patrick, it was for real. I guess he actually asked her. I think it was her. He actually asked her to do it for real. So, you can tell he maybe uh-huh. regretted that after it happened.
Yeah.
Probably.
He
get caught up in the moment there. Yeah.
So she did slap him really hard. When he said, like, "I wouldn't forget about everything, I'll forget about you, and you know, you forget about me, and that's what I'm planning to do is to totally forget you," and then she slapped him, something like that. So, it was pretty intense.
Yeah.
So, that was all.
And meanwhile, he was shirtless. Did I mention that he was shirtless throughout the whole scene?
First the boxers and then the towel.
There we go. not that I was paying attention to that part, but, you know. Was Abby in the room? I don't remember that part. No, I'm just kidding. Abby who?
Yeah.
We know each other too well. Abby who? Hoochie? So actually that story's been pretty entertaining, I have to admit. When I first heard a few months ago that they were going that direction, I thought they were going to play it straight up, like that he was really going to fall for her and stuff, and I was going to be like, "Ugh."
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's actually been pretty funny to watch him squirm and, you know, and the thing of it is, you can't fault the guy. He has played it. I mean, yeah, he leaned on her when mm-hmm. Carrie was busy leaning on Rafe. I mean, he shouldn't have leaned on her like he did, but he was really looking at her as like a little cousin or something, like this kid
mm-hmm.
that he knew growing up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you know, I mean, yeah, he shouldn't have put himself in some of those situations, but he really has played it pretty straight the whole time as far as, you know, not really giving her any concrete, like, cues, but, you know, it's, and so now she's, like, totally head over heels and all, and he's thinking, "Ooh, okay."
Mm-hmm.
So you said Monday, which should have been Friday's U.S. episode, but it's Monday because of
mm-hmm.
Preemption last Tuesday. So Friday, I mean, Monday, we're going to see, Carrie's going to find out
mm-hmm.
about what happened that didn't really happen. So, okay. That's
and how long will that ever take to ever come out that it never really happened? That's some curious.
Yeah,
you know?
And how do you prove a negative? That's the other curiosity.
Yeah, I don't know
like
how that'll ever, unless she admits it, that's the only way.
Well, that's
you know?
Why they,
clean.
That's really tough with smear campaigns when it comes to politics. You don't have to prove someone actually did something. You just throw the accusation out there because people are going to believe it. And you just make the person, prove a negative didn't happen, and like one famous person, like, "Well, when did you stop beating your wife?" Well, if you'd ever even beat your wife, then you have to prove that you never beat your wife in the first place. I mean, that's the whole art of a smear campaign. So, and basically, Abby smeared him, and then, how is he going to prove he didn't do it? So,
right.
He said, she said. so. When he figures out maybe he didn't actually do it. The spoilers say that Melanie finds out, Abby slips off to Melanie that it actually never happened.
Oh. Yeah, that's... So.
Okay.
But Carrie runs off with Rafe. Carrie tells Rafe she loves him this week.
But by that time, it's too late.
It's too late.
Boy.
Yeah.
So do they go off together somewhere? Like, you know, away somewhere? No.
Yeah, like as in off camera? Like.
Yeah, you know, like Alamania maybe? I don't know.
Brickville? I think Brickville's lonely.
Anywhere. Oh, well.
Okay. So, well, and since you had to go there and mention Rafe. Rafe did actually have a cute scene or two with the kids this week. Because we had to see Johnny, Sydney, and
Lucas
Allie.
And EJ's
those
kids.
Those are cute. Yeah, those are cute. You know, one thing, like,
not
the cute, bugging me a little bit about, I love that Lucas is back, but he's always talking about Will. He hardly ever mentions Allie. And I'm like, wait a minute, she needs him too. But anyway, they were really cute. It was really cute to, he was kind of trying to explain to them, like, you know, about.
Why he wasn't home.
Why he wasn't there and stuff. And they're adorable. I love it whenever we get to see the kids. So that was
finally
nice.
They hadn't been on in a long time.
And that's pretty much all Rafe did this week, right? Was just have that the scenes.
That's
with,
all
okay.
we saw.
So,
oh
it was
no,
a good week.
He broke up a fight basically between Nicole and EJ.
Oh, that's right.
He was sticking up for Nicole. There's a pairing right there. That's interesting.
And I always thought kind of Nicole and Rafe a little bit, maybe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Nicole and Rafe.
I mean, he does such a good job of hiding women's pregnancies of EJ's child, or women who are pregnant with EJ's child. It seems natural that he would step in against.
Mm-hmm.
Go into the send her into the witless protection program.
He's gonna find. I'm sure he'll find out.
Oh yeah, but so we'll see how that goes. Okay, so since you wanna, Marianne, you wanna take the EJ Nicole Daniel stuff maybe? Talk about that for a minute.
EJ Nicole Daniel? Daniel wants her to tell him, and I just don't like. You know, here we go again. No,
right.
EJ doesn't know. You know, the same thing with Sammy, another baby of his. Nobody's telling him about it. And I don't know what's going to happen with this baby, whether she's going to lose it or who knows what's going to happen. But and I'm surprised that Nicole is judging EJ so harshly. You know, he should know that. You know, it was just for. I mean, like Nicole, all the mistakes she's made, and she's not that. You know, I love you and all this. You know. She should realize it was just sex, that's it, you know, had no feelings for Sammy. But deep down, she really does realize that I think EJ realizes it, or, you know, that there is feelings between Sammy and EJ.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there always will be.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as Daniel, I don't know. I guess they're going to go there with Daniel liking Nicole. I don't like the two of them. I don't know.
No, they're thinking Daniel and Billy, actually.
Daniel and Billy?
Yeah.
Okay, now see, that I can see more. Daniel and Billy. I still like Nicole and Brady. And I actually like Nicole and EJ. I would like to see Nicole and EJ get back together.
Yeah.
I really would. And for her to have a baby. I think it's time Nicole gets her baby, really.
Yeah.
That's what I would like to see. And like her to back
like
to EJ. Yeah.
Oh, and Ari is not pregnant. She tweeted that this week.
Oh, okay. Because that was speculation, too. Is she not pregnant?
I kind of wondered if maybe she was. But I guess that when she put that in the scene, where she was kind of holding her stomach for a second, that was before they said Nicole was pregnant. I caught that, and I was like, is she pregnant by subconscious, or is she doing that as a character? So.
Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of EJ fans are hoping, like, if she is going to try to hide it from him again, like, they hate this dumbing down of EJ. You know, is he going to, like, fall for it again? You know, how she hid the other baby from him? So,
the sad thing for EJ is, for me, is, you know, I like EJ, and sad thing is, you know, just think the only baby, the only time he's ever been able to, like, put his hand on one of his women's stomachs and thought he had a baby in there was a time when it was a rubber baby. You know, I mean, it's like,
yeah.
Why can't he have the experience of, you know, being there for the mother while she's pregnant and everything? I don't know. So we'll see how all this
goes.
Let's
just hope Sammy isn't pregnant again. That's all.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
With EJ's, with the, you know.
With EJ.
Geez, that
again,
would be
yeah.
a mess again. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes my head hurt just thinking about that.
Right.
But, speaking of Sammy, that's a good segue. So we got Sammy and Lucas.
Lucas.
And
they were cute.
The cute scenes
were,
let's see, at the beginning of the week, they were at the pub. They had come from the house, and they'd gone over to the pub to have some chowder. And Kate was walking by the pub and sees Lucas, and then comes in, and she's all excited, Lucas, you know, has this big reunion with him, and then Sammy walks out, and she's like, okay, I got you extra crackers with your soup, and then Kate looks, and she's like, oh, my God, you know. What'd she say? What are you doing here with that bitch or something?
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah, it was fun.
And so, I mean, it was literally, they played it like classic Sammy Lucas Kate. It was, like, so
mm-hmm.
cute. And so that it was really fun to see that. And then, of course, later she was backpedaling like, oh, gosh, I didn't really, you know, mean to say that, Sammy. We're past that now, you know, all that stuff. But it was really funny to see them, like, fall back into that. And then, well... Is there a sound? Do you guys hear that sound? It's like a sound in there. Okay, anyway. It's kind of funny because they, you know, you could see Sammy was sitting at the, at one point Sammy was sitting at the bar, and she was sitting at the bar and looking over at Lucas and kind of making, look, you know, eyes with him in a way. It was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
While he was sitting there talking with Kate. And so, yeah, I mean, it was just so nice to see Brian and Lauren working together again. And, of course, Allie and Brian and Lauren together. That was a lot of fun. They talked about Lucas's fiance, which her name's Autumn. She's still in Hong Kong. She had to work. But, of course, Sammy can't get her
spring,
name straight. She was
spring, summer, and winter.
Winter, and she
spring,
called her
summer.
October, Miss October at one point, I think, you know, so it was cute. That was really cute. So, yeah, a lot of that old, those old rhythms came back, and it's just such a nice, familiar, I mean, I know that, people probably got tired of it after a while and everything before, but it's so nice to have it back and have the familiar, the humor and all that, and lovely to see Brian DeTillo back on screen, so.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're happy.
Oh, yeah.
We're all happy.
He was just
happy
glowing.
He was. And if
he
you
was,
guys, I don't know
so
if you guys
good.
Caught this, but when Kate first walked into the pub and smiled when she saw Lucas, that was Lauren leaking out there. There was a
yeah.
Lauren smile. In there.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
So
you could just see when they were all, like, greeting it. It was, like,
yes.
not only the characters, it was the actors, too.
Yes.
Oh, great to have
yes.
you back. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know. So, and then later in the week when Billy came back, they were doing the stupid photo shoot with Chad and Gabby. And Gabby and Chad had this little scene where they were like, you know, I'm glad we could get past the whole, because everybody forgot they had actually dated for a little while
they
when
dated.
It was the previous,
mm-hmm.
when it was the previous Gabby that looked a little bit
with
younger
the other,
than the girl that played her now. I'd
mm-hmm.
forgotten to, and then a while back I remembered, but, they were talking about how, you know, glad you gave me a second chance to be your friend and all. Meanwhile, Gabby's thinking, I want to be more than your friend. I want to share
mm-hmm.
my own. But anyway, so Chad, once again, he's oblivious. He doesn't realize she's got a thing for him. She just thinks they're friends. And
but Billy picked up on it. You know, he
picked
up on it. Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Billy saw it. Mm-hmm.
So Billy comes in, and Kate announces her as her co-CEO, I guess, of Countess Wilhelmina. And right away they go into this photo shoot, and they're dealing with Chad and Gabby. And then Billy, Kate, and Lucas are sitting around talking. It was just nice to see them talking together and everything. And trying to think, did we find out anything else about anything during that conversation? I think it was mostly just catching up on old times kind of thing. Let's see. Earlier in the week, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I love the Kate Lucas Billy scene. They're all just sitting around and chatting. I just thought, you know, because we don't see that. It seems like almost all the, we don't see family together that often unless it's the Hortons. So yeah. It was nice to see them get together. And it wasn't just two members of a family. And I'm watching it thinking,
right.
Oh, isn't it nice if Austin was there and Philip?
Shirtless.
You know?
Philip,
shirtless.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have Philip back. Yeah.
Yeah,
Philip,
I miss
Philip. I like Philip.
Aww.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it was nice to have them back, and then and they mentioned Chelsea and Max, which we all had a collective, you know, cringe moment there.
They're still together.
The uncle and his niece are still apparently together. So I know we were all wondering. Thanks for filling us in on that. But anyway, at least they addressed it because, you know, she was there with her daughter and now she's back in town. So, you know, it's nice that they at least did a shout out for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's see. As far as Kate and Ian go, which of course we have to talk about that. Ian had gone and told Kate that he informed her that Sammy was the mole in her company, that she had a mole and that it was Sammy. And so Kate promptly started setting Sammy up by assigning her to the project of discovering who the mole is, even though she knows who the mole is, it's Sammy. Thanks, Jan, for the shout out in the chat room. So then Kate calls Ian a few hours later after he spills the beans or intentionally tells her, you know, that Sammy's the mole. Then immediately Kate goes into action to get to ferret out the mole, who is Sammy. And then she calls Ian and asks if she can meet him at the Horton Town Square. So she gets there, and he's already there, and she's like, oh, you're early. And he's like, you're welcome. I love how he's rather endearing. Of course, I have to admit I have a slight crush on him, but he's so funny. They have their exchanges, and basically the bottom line is they had a lot of great lines, but the bottom line is that he basically draws a line in the sand. He finds out that Kate's not only going to let Sammy squirm until she finally is, you know, outed as the mole, but that she's also going to go after Brady and Madison. And he's like, oh, you know, let's dial this back here. You know, you can have Sammy. You can go after Sammy. I can care less about Sammy. Do whatever you want with her. But Madison's mine to take care of here. You know, I'm going to go after her. And so he basically draws a line in the sand with Kate and tells her she's not going there, you know. And, of course, you know, Kate never likes to hear that she can't go there. So we'll see how that works for him. But it was kind of an interesting thing because she was on her soapbox for a bit, and he said, let's remember the last time you were on the soapbox and how well that ended or something. So they alluded to some history, but we haven't gotten any deeper into it yet. So I'm looking forward to the exploring all that. But they did talk about that and everything. And he left on the terms that, you know, you stay away from Madison. She's, you know, he played it like, well, you know, she's like, oh, you love her? And he's like, well, most married people do marry people they love. And she's thinking, yeah, you didn't marry her because you loved her. You know, I know that. You know, so he's played it that like, well, wouldn't it be natural for me to want to protect her? She's my wife. And Kate's like thinking, right, whatever. So we'll see what's behind all that. But essentially, he's putting the screws, no pun intended, to Madison. He's using this as he's basically gotten wind that Brady wants to marry Madison. Madison wants to marry Brady, and he no likey. So he's told Madison that if she tries to break it off with him and get divorced, then he's going to go after Brady and send him to prison. for this whole espionage thing. So, you know, Ian was the mastermind behind the whole mole thing anyway.
Yeah, he set it up.
Madison
up. He set the whole thing up.
Madison up, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting a bigger picture of what Ian's all about, which is control mm-hmm. and, you know, being the evil one and everything. So he's definitely trying to use her love for Matt, for Brady to control her into doing what he wants her to do. And at one point, Brady came over and he was there. And it was kind of funny. There was a scene where
poor Brady.
I know Sarah will enjoy this. You know, us rehashing this scene. He walks in. Brady's already at Madison's hotel room, and Ian walks in, of course, knowing that Brady's there. He walks in and has breakfast, and he's like, "Oh, if I'd known you were here, I would have brought you a muffin for you too, or something." Mm-hmm. And I take that to be symbolic of she's my muffin. You need it. You go get some other muffin. But anyway, so I don't think he was really referring to the breakfast item as much as he was something else. But anyway, so we'll leave it at that. But you know, so meanwhile, Brady had been trying to get a divorce attorney lined up because he was going to go after Ian and help her get divorced from Ian. And so now she's put the brakes on that because she, out of love, her undying love for Brady, she's not going to divorce Ian.
Just tell him. Why doesn't she just tell him what Ian's doing?
I know.
That's so
stupid. You know, that would be obvious. That would be the
stupid storyline. It's just stupid, you know?
I know.
Really love him. Just tell him what Ian's doing.
Now that Brady has
just as much power as a Curiosus, I was like, I don't know.
Exactly.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, and now that Ian's in town, you know, once they unfold the story about why he's there and everything, it's kind of like Madison can leave now, you know what I mean? You know, but in my opinion. But they're going to drag this thing out a while, so who knows. But, yeah, so I don't know.
With Victor behind him, she can get away from him if she really, really wanted to. I mean,
yeah.
Please.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see how all that works out. There's probably other things behind all this, but at least for right now, Ian basically has Madison where he wants her. Of course, she's not happy about it. Brady's not happy about it. And Kate's really not happy about it either because she can't figure out what he even sees in Madison. And he's made it clear. I mean,
yeah, I don't
fairly
either.
Clear that he doesn't. Yeah, I don't either. He's fairly clear. It's very clear that he really doesn't love her, but I think he wants to use her
control.
In some way. So yeah, control. So
control.
So we've got that whole dynamic, and then does anyone even want to talk about Hope and Don and Alamania?
We just want the story to be over.
Did anyone watch it, or did we mostly fast forward through it? I think I watched a little bit of it, but.
Nothing
I really
happened. Yeah,
couldn't
nothing
care
happened.
Less. Yeah,
I'm always waiting for Shane. The good thing is, like, you know, Charles Shaughnessy's coming back into that storyline. So.
I don't think he shows up till May, so we got a while away. But I think, what was I going to say? So Stefan is obviously meddling with Hope and John, and he's got control of the airwaves apparently in Alamania because they can't get through,
no phone call.
You know, they can't get through on their cell phones to Salem and all. And so they're setting it up. Okay, so Roman and Bo went into this situation and tried to get the Moroni guys, and they got almost whacked. Bo's in a coma, and Kayla dropped her waitress outfit and tried to save Bo, and that was
back
nice.
Being a doctor.
She's a doctor. Mm-hmm. And then Daniel, of course, had to come in and do the cleanup on that. But so now Bo's got to worry about lymph node exams again.
Watch out!
I hope nobody puts a hospital gown on him. That's all I can say. Because between that and non-skid socks, there's no stopping Dr. Dan. So,
right.
You know, he puts the non-skids on you for a reason, so it's hard for you to get away. So I'm a little worried about Bo. But so the poor story Bo's is
like
apparently
but yeah. Billy's yeah. there now for him.
Billy's
yeah,
there
so now
him.
Billy's
so coming to the
So of course conveniently back to the scene where Lucas and Kate and Billy were reunited. Lucas gets a call from Will and then divulges that, oh my gosh, Bo's in the hospital, you know. So of course, Billy hears this, and so Billy apparently next week will be rushing to the hospital, beat by Bo's side. Conveniently enough, the airwaves suddenly open up, and Hope's able to get through to Bo's hospital room. And guess who answers the phone? So yeah.
But
what I hear though, they're not really going with a Billy Bo story. It's just
right.
that they're just gonna like she oh. even said, Bo and I are at a really good place right now. We're getting along, you know, but we're friends and you know, whatever. So, you know, I don't really think they're gonna go the romantic route with those two, but obviously since Stefano's messing with Bo with Hope and John, there's
yeah.
gonna be some miscues there, obviously. So we'll have that to deal with, but I'm really not sure what's going on. John's back in the ISA, yada, yada, yada. Marlena doesn't know that he is. Hope wants to help. So anyway, and Stefano was looking really hot in his, like, ascot and all that stuff in the purple tie and looking very Stefano-ish in Alamania, and that was nice to see. I love him. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, other than that, I don't really know what's going on there yet. Let's see. We have, Sabina's on the line. Let me bring her in for a minute here and see what she's... Hey, is this Sabina?
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, Sabina.
Hello.
Hi,
so,
sorry, MIA
Thanks
lately.
For calling.
Yeah, I've been busy.
That's okay. So, you, I'm sure I know what you want to talk about.
I just wanted to throw out there that hopefully we can get a few more people to join in on the Q&A. It's Monday. Patrick Muldoon's Q&A on Twitter is Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific time. That's his time. Which is 9 p.m. Eastern. So,
okay, great.
Yeah, he's reached his 9,000 mark of followers.
Ooh.
So, on his way to 10,000, it's almost going to happen. And I'm really excited and thrilled for
him.
So,
it's Monday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And so people want to talk to him, they can tweet to @MuldoonPatrick.
@MuldoonPatrick. Yeah, at Muldoon Patrick, and he's going to be taking questions, and just it's going to
be
an hour.
Do you know if this will be shirtless tweeting, or if it'll be shirt?
No, I don't know, but
are people free to pretend like he's shirtless and envision him that way while he's tweeting, or maybe that would be an appropriate question.
What are you wearing, Patrick?
Yes, let's ask him, what is he wearing, what is he drinking while we're doing
What are you wearing, what are you drinking?
And you know what? We could also ask him how Rob Lowe's doing. We hear he's running a gym lately.
Yes,
so
I
think we have our first three questions for the tweet fest on Monday night. So good deal.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad. I didn't know that was going on, so I'm glad you called to let us know about that. So that should be fun. I know Patrick, for anyone who's listening that enjoys Patrick's work on Days or just enjoys watching him shirtless or whatever, he was a hoot. We interviewed him about, a month or a month
and
a half ago?
Wow,
time
yeah.
flies.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're right, it was like the 8th or something in January. Anyway, he was a blast. He was a lot of fun. And I'm sure it's probably a crazy thing to listen to that podcast again. It's a couple hours long. It was a lot of fun. So if you enjoy Patrick and want to listen to that, it's easy to download that podcast and listen to it off the Diva of Duel Blog Talk Radio account, and encourage you to do so. But yeah, definitely join in and talk to Patrick this Monday night. So
yeah,
great.
And
well,
he's actually he actually wants to do another one when he reaches 10,000. So hopefully people will follow him and get him to 10,000 fast, because he has, his numbers have been going up pretty fast, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Good. Well, so bring a friend. Come tweet and bring a friend, right?
Also, I'm kind of wanting to get out there to people to follow Team Muldoon, at Team Muldoon, because I'm trying to be in the works of thinking of fun things to do with the fans, and, you know, I'm also trying to put out there any of his interviews and anything he does. You know, try to get the word out, so, you know, if people aren't following me, they might not catch it as you know, following Team Muldoon, they might not catch it, you know, as easily. So I just wanted to hopefully get more people on board with that, because I'm definitely, I've got working in my brain to try to do some fun stuff like they do over at Land of Cause, so.
Great. Good deal. Well, we're glad you called to let us know about it, and definitely encourage people to join in on Monday night. That'll be great. That's March the 12th, right? That right? Yeah.
Yep.
Good deal. All right. Well, thanks for calling. Did you have any commentary on the shirtless scenes? Or, you know, just like that, everyone's imagination.
I was just enjoying them as usual. I can definitely tell the chest hair is growing back gradually, and pretty soon we will have Team Chest Hair on board for the scenes. He tweeted a while back that they're bringing that back, that he's growing it out, not trimming anymore, and I'm thrilled.
That's
funny. I actually, back when he was on, back in the day, that was what drew me to Chest Hair on Men. It was totally him. It was totally watching him on days shirtless. And I actually told him that when I met him. I was like, totally.
Oh my gosh.
Totally why. So, yeah, he thought that was pretty funny.
So is he growing it back for you?
I don't think it's for me. I want to believe that, but I don't think so. I have no idea why. Because I had asked him about it a while back, and he said something about it was up to Carrie, you know. And I'm like, okay. We tried tweeting, you know, Christy, and she didn't say anything. So I have no idea what brought that back. But I have a feeling that a lot of the fans seem to show enthusiasm over that, and he just shakes his head like, why? I can just see him, you know, behind his phone or his computer just shaking his head going, what are you guys, crazy? So, yeah.
Hey, Marianne.
Oh, hi. Yes. Oh,
hi.
I think
looks like you got dropped.
Something
you
on my phone.
Or
you got dropped or not over. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
All of a sudden, it's like, what happened? I don't hear anything.
I don't know. I just flipped over. I was like, you're not. So
yeah, okay.
I wanted to make sure you were back in case you wanted to weigh in on Patrick's deal.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm sure it will be. And, I'm glad you called and let us know about it. So
thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Lots of sweet flirtations that night, I'm sure. I think my first thing will be Abby really is in love with you, okay? No, he seemed to not get that a few months ago. Alrighty. Well, thanks for calling, Sabina. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Thanks, Sabina.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Sorry, Marianne. I looked over and I was like, wait, you're gone. Oh, now you're back.
Yeah. I'm there. Okay.
Okay, so we... So cool. That sounds like a fun deal. And then, okay, so Jack and does anyone want to talk about Jack and Jim's scene? Oh, we should say that I tweeted about this during the week. Was it just me, or does Jen just do her hair really hot when she's going to go see Daniel? Because, you know, most of the time lately she's been looking like Caroline Ingalls and, you know, with her hair back and the Little House on the Prairie look. And, I mean, which sometimes is okay. I mean, she was very professional when she was working for Abe and all, but, you know, it seems with Jack, it's like, it kind of does look like, you know, Caroline Ingalls. So Anyway, so she had her hair all down and hot and fluffy and everything, and she went and saw Daniel. I guess they decided to be friends. Is that what the end result was of that? I don't remember much about it, but...
Oh, he's over
then,
her. He's more or less
yeah.
told her. He doesn't even think
okay.
of her like that anymore.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
I kind of think why she went... I think why she went to his office twice was I think she was waiting for him to throw himself at her again, and
yes.
he didn't do it. And then she played along,
right.
oh, okay, yeah, let's be friends. I think she wanted to
work for Jack.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
She's like, oh, yeah, Jack and I decided that he's just not good enough for me. And she's waiting. Daniel's like, just trying to get rid of her. And she won't leave his office, and then she comes back again, and, well, things seemed awkward before. Oh, yeah, you know, he's trying to get her to leave. So, good on Daniel. He didn't want to play her game because, you know, it looked like Jennifer was going after Daniel because Jack rejected her. And, he said no more, basically. And I'm giving my interpretation of the scene. If, you know, someone else saw the scene, they might say, oh, yeah, Jennifer and Daniel jointly decided just to be friends. But my interpretation was she wanted more and he didn't throw himself at her. So she just agreed to be
right.
friends. Yeah, did you guys get that impression, too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think she came back that she wanted more than friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she was, like, looking for, thinking, you know,
I mean,
oh, he's going to come back to her.
I mean, she was looking more, I mean, her hair was all done up and everything. She was looking hot, you know, yeah. She definitely.
But she did see Jack with her hair like that then later on.
Yeah, but that was later that same day. She really was wearing
uh-huh.
that for Jack. I mean, for Daniel, I think. But she did look good with Jack that later that day, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But Jack didn't, they were talking about Jack Jr.,
her son.
Right? His
mm-hmm.
grades
yeah.
and stuff. And then
grades and... Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And then, I don't remember what else happened in that scene.
Oh, yeah.
I don't either.
Oh,
yeah.
It was Alice and Tom's 72nd wedding anniversary.
Oh,
that's right.
They talked about
that.
That
was
yeah. And they
yeah.
gave roses
and
to Maggie. And the roses were
Maggie.
Gorgeous. Yeah. That's all that
that's
scene was
right.
about.
That was really sweet. And they had a flashback of Alice and Tom. That was
yeah.
sweet.
Yeah.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was sweet. So
yeah.
that was nice. So yeah, Jack and Jen were there, and Maggie came in to the Horton Town Square, and they
mm-hmm.
did a little anniversary thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. There weren't any magic scenes this week, were there? I don't remember seeing.
No, Victor wasn't on.
No,
this
he
week.
Hasn't been on.
Yeah. Who else? Have we left out anybody else? So Marlena?
Will and Marlena.
Yeah.
Not playing Scrabble and, yeah.
Yeah, that was
about
cute.
The kiss again. Yeah. He was asking her about it again, yeah. That was
yeah.
good.
And he was like, well, if it's never going to happen
together,
again, then why do we even need to talk about it? You know. Yeah, I like their scenes together. They're good.
But Will did make me sad, though, when he's like, well... I thought I'd get married and have kids someday. And
I know.
That made me sad.
Yeah.
I know, that was sweet.
But he's still confused. Yeah.
It's a sweet, those are really sweet scenes. I do. I'm not a big fan of Marlena, but I've always liked her in her therapist mode, and I think it's been a fun twist that she's sort of like actively doing therapy with her family members. It's kind of fun. I mean, it's kind of fun to watch that part. Trying to think. Okay, so those are good scenes. Anything else? I'm trying to think. I think of any other interactions with.
I have to say, I think it's kind of weird. With Ray's threatened to go to the press with but EJ having an affair with Sammy. And I just think it's kind of odd that it's not in the press already. CJ's walking around with bruises all over his face, and Nicole in the hotel room. And
It's weird.
You know, that's you know when the mayor and his wife break up on election night. Usually that is the news somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not necessarily the affair, but just the fact that they split up. Mm-hmm. I actually thought that was kind of unrealistic that the press wouldn't go there. That, you know, maybe they will eventually. But when you have a, you know, steady heat and race, you know, they
speaking of EJ being mayor, it's kind of interesting because I think somebody in Alamania made reference to the fact that it was odd that Stefano left town right as EJ was becoming mayor. So maybe that was a little bit of foreshadowing, but, you know, why wasn't he that invested in that aspect of the story, you know, of his life or something? Because that would be a major thing. So why is Alamania more important than sticking around for EJ's mayoral, you know, win or whatever? I don't know. I'm drawing a blank. I can't think of anything else. That
you think we covered all the characters and all the storylines?
Yeah, I think so.
There was good stuff this week, and there was just stuff that bores me. I mean, the whole thing was boring. And Brady is looking like such a tool, because Madison is just jerking him around by the collar, and he does whatever she says. And so basically she dumps him again because Ian threatened being prosecuted for corporate espionage. But it just, you know, it just... I didn't care. I just don't care. And to me, it just makes Brady look bad that he's chasing after this married woman. And I thought it was bizarre he forgave her within a week of not disclosing her marriage. That's weird. I mean, anybody else would probably be sickened if they thought they slept with someone who was married. I mean, you know, it wasn't just a one-night stand. This was a, you know, two-month-long romance, and he wanted to marry this woman. And it just... I don't even pay attention anymore with their scenes, and I'm trying. I mean, it's hard to tweet and watch the show at the same time, so I miss stuff. You know, being honest, I miss stuff because I'm typing and watching at the same time. But I just cannot make myself watch it. I just don't care. And the same thing with John and Hope. They were bickering the entire week. We know they're married. But I don't care. I mean, she's yelling at him, oh, why aren't you telling Marlene that you're back in the ISA and blah, blah, blah. And John never getting out of the ISA doesn't make sense because he was paralyzed for several years. So how much worse is he going to do paralyzed? And then John and Hope are bickering because there's a dead guy in the room and blah, blah, blah. And you know, and then they show up at the cafe and stuff and is there. And the whole thing, it was just stupid. You know, and you know,
but
the spoiler sport this week.
I was only half paying attention to that part, but didn't Stefano like pull a gun on them, and yet he wants them alive? So why would he? I don't know. I just thought that whole thing was stupid. But anyway,
the whole story is just stupid. They're just rehashing something that didn't work. Nobody liked.
I mean,
the first
I'm hoping it leads to something. You know, because where it is right now is not. But I think we pretty much covered it, folks. I don't know. I can't think of anything else. But yeah, I mean, lots of drama on and off set this week. Tune in next week to find out what Lisa Rinna spills. <You know>? So are the lips of our lives. Anyway, that was a bad pun, but anyway. If we can't think of anything else, I guess we'll go ahead and make sure nobody's in the call queue. Okay. I thank our chat room for the lively discussion in there. Rather entertaining. Everybody that's there, really appreciate your participation and your support. And also wanted to shout out to Madeline. She's had a rough time of it lately. Very big loss in her family, and we just wanted to let her know that we're thinking of her and her diva family.
Yeah, I talked to her, and she told everybody she misses everyone and to say hi, and she'll be heading home. She's in California now, and she'll be heading home on Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Well, it's been very difficult, but great. Great to get an update on her, so thanks, Marianne. All right, guys.
Okay. Someone had a birthday this week, too.
Who?
someone had a birthday this week and got a David Bowie birthday cake.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we talked about Lauren. Oh, I'm sorry. We talked about Lauren at the beginning. Yeah, we talked about her birthday being Friday the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she got a David Bowie cake from some people, and then she got some chocolates and a spa gift certificate and other fun things. And she's such a sweetheart. She's like she was so nice, thanking everybody and all. And she's just she tweeted some pictures, and she was taping 3 episodes yesterday on I guess we should also mention she injured her foot. So she's been hopping along on set, bless her heart. So, yeah, but she's a sweetheart. We wish her a belated happy birthday from yesterday. And the fans had lots of fun with her, and she was a sweetie. But, and of course she's a big fan of Bowie, so that was nice. For those who sent her the Bowie cake, it was really cute. And, I don't know, we had a good time. We had some fun on Twitter with her. So, yeah, it was a nice day. So thank you for mentioning that. And actually, Joe Mascola's birthday is March 13th, so he's not on Twitter.
Oh, wow.
But he does have a website, so for those of you who might want to wish Joe directly a happy birthday, maybe you could tweet it, post it on his, send him an email on his website, or you could tweet it to hashtag Days or at NBC Days and ask them to pass it on to him, or maybe some of his co-stars. You could mention it to them, maybe, something like that. He and Lauren's birthdays are within a few days of each other. So Lauren's is March 9th, and then his is the 13th. So.
Yeah,
anyway.
He's 83, so that's
unbelievable. Yeah, he looks great. He's still rocking it. Got that purple tie and that suit. He always looks so good in a suit. He's still a hot-looking man, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a great actor, by the way.
Yeah.
So, on that night.
One of Day's best.
Yes. So. Yes. Definitely. In the history of Days, one of their best. Definitely. He's awesome. So, we hope he has a great birthday coming up. And I think is that all the Diva business now?
Yeah.
So,
yes,
all right. All right, well, thanks, everybody. Thanks, and take care until next week, and hope to see some of you guys on the Tweet Fest with Patrick Laldoon on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye, Marianne. Bye, Carrie.
Bye. Bye-bye.